The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
And the recording. So welcome, welcome. So I've been doing this series on the inner critic, and I'm going to continue on that theme a little bit here. And one thing I'm going to talk about is that so often, like, we come to this practice thinking that it's going to alleviate some of our difficulties and help make life better and help our life unfold in a particular way. And it's not uncommon, and maybe you've seen this yourself, that what happens is we start to see, like, oh, I have all these, this inner critic business. I didn't quite notice it as much, so much before, but wow, it's everywhere. Or maybe this kind of like self-sabotaging thoughts or behaviors or something that become more evident. And they become evident either because we're paying attention more, or maybe we're trying to do something different. There's always a little bit of, maybe I shouldn't say always, but it's so common for there to be some resistance when we're working with some of these lifelong patterns. It's, of course, right, we can't just change them overnight. And so even though we might have the most sincerest intentions to make some changes in how we think and how we show up in the world and how we behave, we want to be more considerate to ourselves, to others. We want to be more tolerant. We want to be have more goodwill, more kindness and ease. And even though we may have, like, this is so great and I really want to do it, we might see, like, oh, there's some of these old habits that keep showing up that make it not so easy or straightforward, even though we have this sincere wish to do this. Turns out this is pretty common. So you're certainly not alone and maybe seeing more of this inner critic or self-sabotage behavior, but it can be really helpful to just notice, oh, yeah, there's these old habits that are arising. And can we hold it with warmth? Can we hold it, the arising of these old habits that don't serve us so well anymore? Can we hold it with care, with sensitivity, with kindness, with ease? And can we bring a little bit of wisdom? Like, yep, this is what happens. When we try to do things differently, there's sometimes resistance shows up in this. Resistance shows up in this particular way, sometimes with the inner critic just being really loud. Who do you think you are? You can't make a change. Remember that time when you tried to make that other change and you couldn't do it way back then? Or you're too old, you're too young, you're too this, you're too that. You know, all these things that we might have about why we can't do it. And can we just say, yep, here it is. Okay. We might even say, hello, inner critic, how are you today? Invite them in for tea, you know, so to speak. Is there a way that we, rather than having some anger or disappointment or some kind of flash of, you know, really wanting to push away, which often has a little undercurrent of hostility to it, instead, can we bring some warmth, some openness to this, these patterns? And often it's not until they are seen with warmth and openness and held that they can start to shift. There's a way in a certain type of hostility aversion, when it gets met with hostility aversion, it just perpetuates hostility aversion. Of course it does. So when we see this happening, one, we can say, oh, there we are. Okay, inner critic. Some people give their inner critic a name. Aunt Helga, Uncle so-and-so, you know, something like this, or a monster of a name, a gremlin or something like this. But also, so maybe I'll be a little bit more specific. I'm talking about that we can meet it with some warmth, but also I want to use this word wisdom when we say that we're just recognizing, like, this is what happens. This is part of the human experience, that things that are habits just show up. And to maybe there's a way we can understand that each time we recognize, oh, this is the inner critic, and as best we can, bring some acceptance, warmth, care to it as best we can, there's a way in which we are undermining its power. We are undermining its influence, right? Because we're interrupting this momentum of negativity with some positivity. Positivity being just holding, just accepting. And so that can create some space. This disrupted momentum can create enough space that, oh, maybe we can change direction instead of just going down the same way. Or maybe there's a way that we can just stop, rest, pause in some kind of way. So there's a few things that we can do in this after we've interrupted the momentum. And one is we could say, well, I'm doing the best that I can right now. That's one way that maybe this holding with some care and ease shows up, as I'm doing the best I can right now. Or I'm in the process of learning something new and it takes time. Or may this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. Something we'll be practicing in our loving kindness practice, but this idea of I'm doing the best I can right now. I'd like to say that we're always doing the best that we can. And part of what this practice is creating the conditions in the best that we can just gets changes or morphs in a way that's more and more supportive for our lives, the lives that we want to live. We're not purposefully failing, quote unquote. We're not purposefully doing less than what we want, right? We're always doing the best that we can. And of course it takes time. We know this. We all know this. So maybe I'll just say one last thing before we go into this practice. I've said this before, but I just want to emphasize it, that sometimes when we talk about this, having some kindness towards ourselves or these having some holding things with warmth and ease, there might be this quiet little, I might even say, inner critic, self-sabotage thought in the back of our mind, like that's for sissies. Like, if we're real practitioners, we're going to get in there and, I don't know, do something else. We might feel like it's self-indulgent and really we need to be tough on ourselves, you know, with the crack the whip and make ourselves work more or something like that. Or it might feel like it's selfish. There's so much suffering in the world and all this work that needs to be done. I don't have time for this. Or somehow we might think that this is not healthy. There's all kinds of reasons why we might be hesitant to do this, but there is a lot of research that actually this type of approach, like there's a lot of data that supports, turns out helping people to have not only happier lives, but increases productivity, which is something that many of us think about or worry about, and it increases our the satisfaction with our relationships. Like, these things are important in our lives. So there's some real benefits other than just feeling better, which in some ways might be the most important benefit. Okay, that's enough from me. Let's do some practice. So we'll start with just a little bit of mindfulness practice, just settling in, tuning in to the bodily experience right now. What does it feel like at this moment? Maybe there are some obvious physical sensations. Feeling the chair, the couch or bed, whatever it is, feeling that against your body, the pressure. Feeling whatever it is your hands are resting on. And then just doing a little bit of a body scan. Are there some areas that could loosen, soften, relax a little? If you find that some tension or some tightness, sometimes it helps just for a short amount of time to extend the exhale just a tiny bit. Usually we don't manipulate our breath in this practice, but it can be worthwhile for a few breaths to just extend the exhale in a relaxed, easy way. Just a teeny bit. And relaxing any changing or purposefully breathing. Instead of trusting that the body knows how to breathe, can breathe perfectly fine, and just tune into the sensations of breathing. When the mind wanders, we don't have to make it a problem. We just very simply begin again. And then we'll switch over to some loving kindness practice. Way to, get in touch with our hearts and express goodwill, feel goodwill. But it doesn't always unfold the way that we expect it to or want it to. Of course it doesn't. We can't force these things. We're just creating the conditions. So bring to mind a lovable being, someone for whom it's easy, straightforward, uncomplicated to have goodwill toward. Tuning into this lovable being, whether they are an imaginary kittens, puppies, babies, furry family member, human family member, or someone who has touched your life with their writings or teachings, whomever it might be. Bring them to mind. And is there a way you can tune in or connect with this lovable being? And then to support this connection and our intention of cultivating loving kindness, we can repeat these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May we save. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. When the mind wanders, we just very simply come back and begin again. Feeling how much we appreciate this lovable being, or have some warm-heartedness or care, respect. Whatever word works for you. Allowing yourself to be nourished by this warm-heartedness, be supported by it. And then to extend our loving kindness to include ourselves. In the same way for the lovable being, can we be a lovable being for ourselves? Some people visualize or bring to mind a photograph of them when they were a child. Some people tune into the felt sense of this moment. Whatever way there that's available to you right now to connect with yourself, and some well wishes for yourself. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Can you send well wishing to yourself? May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. So we spent this time warming up the heart, so to speak, allowing some ease and maybe some gentleness and warm-heartedness to arise. And from that place, you bring to mind a difficulty in your life. On a scale of 1 to 10, this is really a mild one, a 2 or a 3. To offer a few phrases, I recommend just choosing one. I'm doing the best I can right now. Maybe there's some small little tweaks to make it make sense for the difficulty that you are have in mind. I'm doing the best I can right now. I'm in the process of learning new ways, and it takes time. I'm in the process of learning new ways, and it takes time. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. And if you find that the difficulty is dissipated, you can bring another one to mind, or maybe go back to loving kindness practice. Whatever feels like would be the most supportive. Staying connected to your experience, staying connected to your heart, so to speak. This isn't so much like whack-a-mole. We're not trying to bludgeon these difficulties, make them go away. Instead, we're just turning towards them with care and respect. Thinking about a difficulty. I'm doing the best I can right now. I'm in the process of learning new ways, and it takes time. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. So this idea that we can disrupt the momentum of the inner critic or self-sabotaging thoughts that arise, some of it with some maybe wisdom phrases or some heartfelt phrase. I mean, wisdom phrase, I'm doing the best that I can right now. And I'm learning new ways and it takes time. As well as more, maybe one that's maybe a heart-based, if we want to make this distinction between wisdom and heart, we don't have to. But if we wanted to, we could say that heart one has made this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. And part of the reason why we practice them in meditation is so that we have access to them when we're in difficulties in our daily lives, that they might arise this memory or some borrowed wisdom, we might say, or some borrowed care. Maybe it starts as a thought that we remember, but then we can get embedded and then our life can unfold differently. That's something new to happen than if we just allowed this inner critic or self-sabotaging to just keep on going down the track that it usually does. So now I'd like to put you into some breakout rooms so that you'll have an opportunity to talk about this idea of bringing in some of these borrowed wisdom phrases or borrowed kindness or warmth phrases. We can use that expression, right? That maybe they're like memories to begin with or something like this. So it's helpful when you're in these small groups that it's an opportunity for us. We've been practicing some open-heartedness and some warmth. So it's an opportunity to share that with others that takes the form of holding the space, allowing people to show up. So it's not so much about you have to tell everybody your life story, your deepest darkest secrets. But it's helpful to just say one point and then let it go to the next person, and they just say one point. And then it goes to the next person, and they say one point. And then it comes back around to you. And by that time, maybe you're influenced by something that you've heard, or maybe there's something new that you hadn't thought of before that arises. It also makes room for everybody's voice to be thrown into the pot, so to speak, there in the breakout room. Okay, so for this breakout room, why don't we go in alphabetical order? And off we go. Welcome back. Welcome back. Somebody have a comment or a question or something they'd like to share? I see some of you are smiling. This is a good sign.
There's something.
Yes.
Did you say yes to me?
Yes, I did, but I'm not sure who's speaking. Is this Aurora?
It's Aurora, yeah. Well, we were just saying, like, and I just wanted to reflect that these conversations specifically around the inner critic so far have been really rich and deep and lovely, and I feel like you could teach this forever and it would be really helpful. So, and yeah, we were all just really appreciating these small groups and how helpful they are in so many ways. So thank you for that.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Omar. And Jesse.
Yeah, thanks. I'm really appreciating this inner critic series as well. I was really glad that you mentioned wisdom, because sometimes, you know, I feel like my inner critic can be kind of crafty and like represent itself as, you know, oh, this is wisdom. You're not doing things right. You should be doing something else. And so like an example would be, if I'm feeling thirsty, I mean, on a good day, it would be, oh, I'm feeling thirsty, like in a kind and curious way. But even that thought might show up like in a harsh way. But then there could be a follow-on thought like, oh, you should have brought water with you, or, you know, something like that. So I'm just wondering if you could make some general comments on discernment between wisdom and inner criticism, inner wisdom and inner criticism.
Let's see here. I would say wisdom is open-ended. That is, it's less concerned about a specific outcome, like this should be that way or should make this other thing happen. That's more kind of the inner critic speaking, it should be that way. Whereas wisdom is, it's less interested in the exact outcome and more interested into what's happening this moment in our relationship to it.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Did Trudy, were you waving your hand? Did I? I'm looking. No, I don't see Trudy. Maybe she's not here anymore. Or oh, there she is. Oh, but Trudy's, but she's not unmuted. Oh, there she is. I see her. Oh, I don't see you. So, Trudy, I know that you sometimes it's difficult for you to unmute yourself, but maybe you're just saying goodbye.
Or I'm interpreting Trudy doing this as she wasn't asking to talk.
Oh, okay. Okay. Thank you, Amy.
Can you hear me?
Yes, now I can hear you, Trudy.
Okay. I was waving because I didn't want to hold up the parade by being muted when I can't see, so I can't see to unmute. I just wanted to say I think you've been peeking into my life because Tuesday and today, the idea of holding the problem with kindness and ease and doing the best I can, what a powerhouse that is, and exactly what I need to do.
Mm.
So I want to thank you. And today I found out that I just need more patience. That's all.
Nice. Patience, yeah. Right? When there's only one way to get patience, that's to be patient.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Trudy. Okay, so if you like, everybody would like to unmute, then we can say goodbye all together in an unruly way. So, bye bye, and thank
bye
you,
everybody.
Bye. Hi, Anna.
Bye. Thank
hi,
you,
Journey.
Diana.
Hi.
Bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Hi. Thanks, Wayne.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.